Thank you for worshiping with us here today at Grace Point on Mother's Day. And every Mother's Day, we like to have a time of baby dedication. We had a number of them in the second service, families that came and dedicated their kids to the Lord. And then we have a number of families that have come in this third service. So we're thankful for them and them recognizing, we feel like, the importance of doing that this morning. So in just a moment, Julie Richardson, who leads our preschool children's ministry, she's going to come. After she comes, she's going to introduce the families to you. They'll join me up here on stage. I'll give them a Bible as they come, a Bible for their child they're dedicating. And then I'll pray over them at the end and just celebrate with them. All right. So Julie Richardson, come and introduce these families to us today. Here you go. There you go.
Good morning. We're going to start out with Coy and Brittany Johnson with big sisters Brinley and Kyla, and they are dedicating Baylor Cole and Katie Blake.
Okay, let's just clap as they come up. That way it makes it easier. Come on over here, right down here, Coy. Come right down here. Perfect. There you go, hey, buddy.
We have Eddie and Ashley Bright with siblings Riley, Blakely, Braylee, Hartley, and Blaze. And they are dedicating Noxley Blaine.
All right. I'm right there, baby. I'm right there. Perfect, 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 perfect. Thank you, brother. All right, Ashley. Okay.
Joshua and Ashley Taylor with siblings Rayleigh, Joshua, and Elijah are dedicating Katie Marie Alice.
Ooh, cute. Right here, baby. Good job.
Isaac and Tim and Kim Tawefa are dedicating Ezekiel James.
All right, what a good looking group. So well behaved. I mean, they got it under control. No problem for this 35-minute dedication we're going to do here today. No, I'm just kidding. I like to keep it short. I understand we have four, so, you know, these can be a little. But thankful for these families. Thank you for coming and being here today and recognizing the importance we feel like at Grace Point to dedicate these children to the Lord. So at Grace Point, when we have baby dedication, it's in no way are the kids becoming church members. It's no way that has any connection to their salvation experience that we pray for someday will happen, that they have Jesus in their heart. This is just an opportunity for these parents to come and to acknowledge these children are a gift from the Lord and that they desire to dedicate their children to the Lord and commit to raising them according to God's word. So I want to read just a couple of scripture passages, and then I want to pray for these families, and you'll just join me in encouraging them and praying for them. In Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14, it says, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your words are wonderful. I know that full well." And in John chapter 1, 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." And that's what we pray for these kids as these parents raise them. And the last one in Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." So let's pray together. Would you just join me and let's pray? And you just join me as we pray really for these parents and for these children as a Grace Point family to encourage them and come alongside them. So thank you, Father, for these families, these parents that stand here today. Thank you for their commitment, Lord, to raise these children according to your word. Thank you, Father, for the gift that you have given them in these children. And so today, Father, we pray that you empower these parents, encourage them, give them strength when they're worn out, patience, Lord, give them endurance to run the race and to raise these children according to your law and according to your word. And may we as a family, as a Grace Point family, come alongside them and pray for them, love them, and encourage them. And we pray this morning, Father, for the salvation of these young children, that they would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior at an early age. We pray for that, God. Just continue to empower these parents, Lord, to live out the gospel in front of these children. And as they see that, that they will then come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Thank you again for the blessing that these families are to us as a church today. And we pray you bless them in great and mighty ways today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, parents. All right, thankful for these parents taking this time to have their kids here and to dedicate them to the Lord. And today, as we begin, I want to share a couple of announcements and then I want to move into this message. We're going right to a scripture verse by verse, right through James. So perfect Bible, perfect verse for Mother's Day. I couldn't have picked it any better that the Lord already planned out as we decided to teach through James. And I'll get there in just a minute, James 1. Verse 19. But before I do, I want to make two announcements. Stay with me for two announcements, okay? First of all, June 2nd is going to be Baptism Sunday. June 2nd, Baptism Sunday. People, some that have made decisions at Easter will be baptized. Some that have made decisions before. Maybe some of you, and this happens a lot at Grace Point, maybe you made a decision for Christ and surrendered your life to Christ years ago, but you've never followed through with believer's baptism. This is an opportunity for you to take that step of faith. And we want to come alongside you and encourage you and celebrate that with you. So if indeed that's you, I want to encourage you, first of all, to pray about that if you haven't taken that step. There's our sign-up sheets out in the lobby. You can sign up in the lobby. And maybe you just have more questions and you can just sign up and we'll reach out to you and talk to you about that and what the Bible teaches about it and the whole process. So I want to encourage you to be praying towards that. And then June 2nd, we'll celebrate here with Baptism Sunday. Now, some people, I already have some I know that can't make it June 2nd for whatever reason. We can do it before, we can do it after. It doesn't have to be on that day. But by nailing down a date, it kind of pushes, I think, encourages people to really pray and think about it. And if the Lord's calling them to do that, to take that step of faith. All right, so June 2nd, Baptism Sunday. And then second, Vacation Bible School is just a few weeks away. June 17th, I think that's the Monday, is Vacation Bible School. One of the things we do every year, Vacation Bible School, is we ask our church family to step up and step forward and to help give to items we need to pull this off with 300 probably plus kids this year. And so in the past, they put things out in the lobby. It's just a little different this year. Underneath the awning or somewhere in that area, I haven't been outside there this morning, but there's a Jeep that's parked out there. So that Jeep kind of goes with the theme this year. There's a Jeep that's parked out there, safari theme, and so it goes well. So in or on that Jeep, like I said, I haven't been out there, but there are cards that have the list of items that we need for Vacation Bible School. So what we're asking you to do is to go by there on your way out, look through those, pick up one that you can get. You know, it might say 4 or 5 bags of candy or something. You pick that up, and then you go this week to get those items, and then you bring them back next week, and we put them in the Jeep. So we're filling the Jeep with items for Vacation Bible School, all right? So that helps us a great deal every year. It'll help us with Vacation Bible School. So we are filling the Jeep, taking these this week, filling the Jeep next week, and then at Vacation Bible School, we're raffling off the Jeep, and we're giving it away. I'm just messing with you. Oh, funny guy. I mean, I thought about it, but, you know, that's weird. So, and it's not my Jeep, so it's the Petite's Jeep, I think. They sign off on that. So that's coming. Vacation Bible School is coming quickly. We have children's camp even before that, the first week of June. So there's a lot going on with children's ministry. If you want information about children's camp over in the children's building, they have that. You can ask over there and they'll get you connected with information about children's camp over there. All right. Mother's Day. So happy that you're here. Thank you for celebrating with us. It is a time of celebration. We celebrate moms and we certainly want to do that today. And then also at Mother's Day, I think also of those that maybe Mother's Day has been difficult for them. Maybe it's a difficult time for you. And maybe that's because some, I know, in a couple of the services. They lost this the first time they've had Mother's Day since they've lost their mom. Their mom went to be with the Lord. And so Mother's Day is kind of a hard day. So I want to remember you two also. We're going to pray in just a minute for you. It may be that you lost your mama quite a while ago, but it still can be a difficult day. There's other scenarios. I won't go into the details of how it can be difficult. So for those of you here that it may just be a tough day, then we want to pray for you too. And then we're also celebrate moms that are here. I think this scripture will help and encourage. That's the great thing about God and His Word. God's Word meets all, it doesn't matter where we are, what we're going through, God's Word always meets us at our point of need. And that's what I'm praying will happen today as we talk about James chapter 1, verse 19. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless it. Let's do that. And I thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you for every person who's here this morning. I pray, God, that through the teaching of your Word, they will hear you speak to them, God. We will hear you speak. And you will transform us through your Word. For those that are on the mountaintop celebrating, we celebrate with them today. For those that are walking through the valleys, we walk with them today and encourage them, God, regardless of where we're at. Lord, speak to us just boldly this morning, God, through your Word. May we have ears to hear and show us great and wondrous things from your law. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. So James chapter 1, verse 19, listen to this. This is where we're at in the verse by verse. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So I can stop right there. Do you see how great a verse that is for moms? You know what that verse is saying? Be quick to listen. Perhaps the best gift you can give your mother today is to listen to her. Listen to your mother. Whether you're 2 or 20 or 8, whatever, listen to your mother. And perhaps the best gift we can give our wives today, husbands, is to listen to our wife. Listen to your wife today. That's what we're talking about, being better listeners. And exactly really how we do that. Listening well, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Okay, so if you don't do the first two, and I'll come back to context in just a minute, then it's going to result in anger, all right? It's quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. If you do those, then you will be slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Okay, so it does not lead us to Christ's likeness. So we need to get a handle on our anger. And the one way you do that is by listening well to God. Therefore, put away. Because anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive. So put some things away before you receive. With meekness, and that's how the implanted, we'll talk about in a minute, implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So he's going back up to verse 18 where we finished last week, and I was talking about the good gifts of God. And I said to you in verse 18, the greatest gift God has given is Jesus. And he's saying that same word that you heard and received God, that same word, listen to that word which is able to save your soul. So he's showing you the power of the word of God. That we must listen, be quick to listen. Now, let me just remind you about this context of this, because a lot of times it's taken out of context, and it can be used, you know, I'm not for taking verses out of context. This one can be used out of context, because there's other supporting scriptures that would support the principle, the idea of being a good listener. But understand, I think when we do that, when we say, oh, we're just supposed to be good listeners, that is true, and I'm going to talk about that. But understand the context of what's happening here. Remember, he's talking about trials still, and here's what this verse is saying. This verse is how we are supposed to come to the Word of God. That is the context of this, okay? This is how you come to the Word of God. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. That's how you come to the Bible. That's what he's saying, okay? So what he is saying here, especially because you're going through trials, he's saying what God says matters most, so you need to listen well. You're in this trial. There's these deceptions that's happening by Satan and the the tempted to kind of maybe give up on the goodness of God and all these things. So you need to come to the Bible and you need to listen really well right now, is what he's saying, as you're walking through this difficulty. Now, over in the, I'm not going to get to it today, but following, if you notice, not on the screen, but after verse 21, which I just read, where he says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Then verse 22, okay, here's the flow of it. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So see what he does? First he talks about hearing the word of God, now doing the word of God. That's no coincidence that he has that order, right? And he says also that if you just hear and leave, you're deceiving yourselves. So he's saying if you come on a Sunday or if you go to a small group and listen to a teaching, if you're listening on the radio to a teaching, or if you're reading your word at home in the devotional and you read it and you do nothing with it, he's saying you're deceiving yourself, my friend. We listen and we hear so we can do. We listen and we hear. That's the context of what he's talking about. We listen and hear so we can do the word of God. Now, the context of the whole book was there's some lazy Christians, right? And he's focusing a little more on doing because they weren't. Hey, we're saved. We're fine. He's saying, yeah, that's true, but you need to respond to the truth, right? So listen to the word of God. And then as you hear the word of God, you do the word. That's why I love to give takeaways. Take this away with you. You hear it. Now take it away and do something with what you spent your time here doing this morning. Do something with that. Don't just hear it. So that's how that's kind of the backdrop. Hear the word of God so we can then do the word of God. He starts with listening, and then next time we come to the, we'll talk about acting. So let's go back to verse 19. I'm just going to give you three takeaways this morning. Number one is hurry up and listen, is what he's saying. Know this, my beloved brothers, that every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. I think we switch those around, don't we? Slow to hear, quick to speak. Slow to hear, quick to speak. So what James is saying is, let's just tap the brakes here and let's be quick to listen. Let's first listen to God. So hurry up and listen. And he says this, my beloved brothers. So he said that before, but I love the heart of this. And I wrote it down. It's something I saw a long time ago and put in my Bible, because this really does, is trying to communicate my heart from you as church family, from your pastor. Here's what he says, and I think it captures it well with James, but I echo it. With his affectionate, my brothers, James draws them to his heart as members of the same spiritual family. It softens any suggestion of harshness in his commands to them and assures them that he wants them to feel that he is not a superior commanding them, but an equal exhorting them, encouraging them. That's what I want to do, encourage you. They are the objects of his brotherly concern, and this should strengthen their desire to accept his call unto attainment of the ideal for the Christian life. In other words, to do what God calls us to do. My brothers. So in order to do what we're supposed to do, we have to listen to what God says we are called to do. Then what happens then? I think that's primary what the text is talking about. But then I could go to this way, right? We go vertical. Then we go now. Then it's going to impact how I relate to other people, how well I'm listening. Here's how I would summarize it. If we want to be better listeners to the people of God, we have to be better listeners first to the Word of God. We listen to the Word of God first. That's going to impact then. And we're going to see that in the next takeaway in more detail. So if I want to be a better listener, even to the people around me, I need to be disciplined to listen to the Word of God, because what things are going to happen in me that make transform me into Christ-likeness, right? And we see how he listened well, how he heard what people were saying. Listening is hard work. Listening is hard work. Listening to, I think, the Word of God and listening to other people is hard work. So I was writing this week and I thought, why is that so hard? Why is that so hard for me sometimes, right? And I wrote down three reasons I think it's hard. There's probably more, but obviously. But number one, because we are nature, by nature, we're selfish people. So when you're listening well and you're engaged with someone, it's all about them. It should be all about them, right? And that kind of cuts against the flesh. The Bible talks about Paul talks about in Romans, right? About the flesh is we like to be about us. And so being still and listening and trying to fully hear what's going on, right, to them, right? That's hard to do at times because we are by nature selfish people. Number two, there's so many distractions. There's so many different distractions that it's hard to listen well. And number three, it takes time. It takes time and patience, right? And everything is so fast paced. They have to really work at listening well and being still listening well. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. One of the ways that patience should be manifested for me is that I am patient in listening to people around me. That I'm patient to listening to my wife, for instance, right? Instead of, as I'm listening to my wife at times, because things are running fast for me, right? And I have to be still, but I'm listening to her share. And I'm like, okay, honey, you need to land that plane, baby. Baby, land it. I don't actually say that out loud. I don't even do this. My wife is over here. You look gorgeous. You look good today. I just want you to know, by the way. You're so awesome. This is just a hypothetical illustration. So, land it. Because here's what. Because once you land that plane, I'm going to throw so much truth, and I'm going to be so awesome in my response. It's going to fix everything you're struggling with. Just bring it down. Right? And that's that fast, because we need to move on to, right? And that's why. And now some people are a little more, some people are better at that than others. Some people are a little more high strung and it's harder to bring it down, but that's not an excuse for me not to listen. Now, and here's the other thing. Now, listen, this is we have to listen all the way through. So if I have, no matter who I'm listening to, if I have drawn conclusions and already know what my response is going to be before they fully finish, then I probably have shut down and I won't hear the last part of it. And so if I hear all the way through and I even hear the last part and the first part, my response is probably going to be different and even better than if I just formulated my response while they were finishing what they were saying. So all that takes some time, man. It takes discipline. Now, the same thing as we come to the Bible. We want God to speak to us. I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you 10 minutes, God. And in these 10 minutes, I need you to come. I need you to bring it. And I need you to hurt, because I got. And listen, it may be that sometimes God speaks quickly and clearly, and it may be that other times it takes a while. But I keep coming, and I keep listening. Hurry up and listen. I said, Mother's Day, moms, one of the things we... you could probably do better is listen to your mother and children, and then us as husbands to our wives. I wrote down just a couple of fun things here that some moms, I saw some moms said and wrote down. This is what one mom said. When I raise my voice, my kids call it yelling, but I call it motivational speaking for the selective hearing. This mom writes down, she says, other moms speaking, oh my gosh, honey, are you okay? Come here and let mommy clean it up. And then she says, well, if you would have listened to me when I told you not to do that, then you would be fine right now. And here's the last one. This has nothing to do with any of that, but I just enjoyed it. One mom says this, I don't want to sleep like a baby. I want to sleep like my husband. Oh, I know the ladies would laugh louder than the men. That's not that funny. Yeah, the men, it's not that funny. So when we are walking through trials, we want to make sure we are coming to the Word. This is how we're coming to the Word of God. Now, yes, there's time to kind of vent and to talk, but we want to come and we want to listen. We want to come to the Word. We want to listen to what God has to say to us, especially as we walk through that trial. Now, let's go to the second takeaway. Takeaway number two, listen to God first, speak to others second. Listen to God first, speak to others second. So when we do that, When we do that, what we say is probably going to be different than if we had not listened to God. So when, because our emotions are worked up, we might be anger doesn't produce the righteousness of God, right? We're angry, we're upset, and then we're going to go to somebody and we kind of vent and it all goes, and we go to them, we say that to them, then we go back to the Word of God and we get convicted because we did that. So now we got to go back to them, we got to apologize, and we got to say, I'm sorry, as opposed to if we would have gone to the Word of God first, we would have gone to them differently because we listened to God first. Then we speak to others second. It's usually the other way around. We just want to tell them how we feel. Then we'll go talk to God about it. So before you speak to others, listen to God. Slow to speak. Certainly when, you know, the Ephesians talks about using our words to build up. I wrote this down. It's just in my notes. I forgot, I think, in the other services. But I read this week. If you can't be kind, be quiet. Slow to speak. Quick to listen and slow to speak. Listen to God first. Speak to others. Say, well, you know, the truth is that silence in our world, we get uncomfortable with silence, don't we? Okay? Now, I'm not going to say a word for 60 seconds. Let's just be still and see how that feels, okay? Here we go. It's going to be harder for me than you. Okay, go. Okay, we're all like, oh my gosh, that seemed like an hour. I mean, did it not? Maybe it's just me. But that's just for 1 minute. And of course, in this context, it makes it more awkward because, you know, I'm on the platform and should be speaking, so I stop. But there's something to that. There's something to that. Now, we won't explore it deeper today, but as we come to the Bible and we sit, read, be quiet, be quick to listen. There's something there that our fast-paced culture might cause us to miss when we all get in that lane. I do too. So we listen to God first, we speak to others second. Now, let me say this. John Stott, theologian. Your view of Jesus is revealed in how you hear him. Your view of Jesus is revealed in how you hear him. There is a direct connection between our ears and our hearts. Worship is more than Jesus listening to what we have to say about him. It's also our listening to what Jesus has to say to us, what he wants, what he commands, what he promises. And we must listen without selectivity. Jesus gets our full attention. We can't say we love Jesus while we tune him out. So listening what he has to say dramatically impacts our relationship with him and our relationship with other people. Now, I'm going to bring this to a close. So we have one more takeaway. My ministry, a little bit of philosophy of ministry for me, is that I've always believed this, but I just continue more and more. So my philosophy of ministry and teaching the Word of God is that I am called, gifted to teach the Word of God. And right here, this context right now, to Grace Point Church, to teach you the Word of God, right? I teach you the Word of God, and through the Word of God, I connect you with Him so then He can transform you by the Spirit of God. So my responsibility, my job, is to teach you, and then I basically step out of the way so you connect with him so he can begin to transform and change you. Therefore, what I pray for, what I hope for, what I ask for God for, is that every Sunday when you leave, as you're leaving or later in that day, you are able to say, man, today, God spoke to me. Not even Pastor Dave spoke to me. I appreciate that. I want to be used by God. So, and I know that there's a certain amount of God using, but understand, my belief is that I teach to connect you with him, not to you to draw you to myself. It's so you have that encounter with God, and then as you go, God spoke to me today. That's what lights me up. That's what I like. That's what I love. When people say to that, man, people say, man, God spoke to me today. I'm like, that's what we're talking about right there. He spoke through his word to you, and that draws you to God. That draws you to God. Here's a kind of a summary of it. All right, personal ministry. Talking about personal ministry. So I would write this for my personal ministry, but I think this is true for any of us, right? When you do ministry, personal ministry is not always knowing what to say. It's not about fixing everything in sight that is broken. Personal ministry is about connecting people with Christ so that they are able to think as he would have them think, desire what he says is best, and do what he calls them to do, even if their circumstances never get fixed. It involves exposing hurt and loss and confused people to the glory of God so that they give up their pursuit of their own glory and live for his. And that is where we all find hope and healing. It's ministry. That's what God calls us to do. And we do that more effectively when we listen to the word of God and he transforms us. Then number three, don't hinder the word of God to you. For the anger of man, verse 20, does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away. So here's all the things we need to do to listen well and hear God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness, so humility, the implanted word which is able to save your souls. All right, so if you're taking notes, put off the things, I say things of the flesh, so those things that are not of God, things that are of the world, and he mentions too, filthiness and wickedness. So put these things that are keeping us from hearing God speak to us, these things that are anger and filthiness and wickedness. He's saying, put those off, and then with humility, put on humility. This is how you come to the Bible. You come with, receive with meekness. You're receiving the word of God. So you humble yourself so you're not coming prideful with all the answers or anger or wrath or whatever. You're coming with the spirit of humility. Your place before God, my place before God. And then I receive and I hear the word of God, the implanted word. And the word implanted translates this way, to take up residence in the heart of a believer. That's implanted. So that means that it's not just 35 minutes in here, 30 minutes, right? And then you're gone. Again, we're going into doers, right? So to do, it has to implant. It has to take root and residence in you. It doesn't just hear and it's gone. It takes that and it plants. And then what happens next verse, next week, is you begin to do the word. You cannot be profoundly influenced by that which you do not know. You cannot know that which you need to do unless you are intentional in listening to God speak to you about what he's called you to do. So we have to first, we listen and we hear. We're influenced by the truth. It's implanted. So today when you leave, it's not like I got nothing from, I just go, then you're not able to do. So the only way that happens is with meekness. So humility, you receive with humility the implanted word. It's like it's saying, God, I don't know it all. I don't know what the situation holds or what the future holds. I'm not even sure. But I humble myself and I'm asking you to speak to me. I want to receive your word to me today. And then he finishes, which is able to save your souls. That the power of the word of God to save your souls, verse 18, but also to get you through this valley. But you have to listen. Listen. That's number one. Takeaway number one. Hurry up and listen. Takeaway number two. Listen to God first. Speak to others second. And number three, don't hinder. Don't hinder the word of God to you. Let's pray together this morning. Let's pray. Will you stand with me? Let's stand together as we continue to worship and take a moment just to reflect on God's word. And so with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to read this scripture passage just over you as a church, that you would just hear it, believe it, receive it. On this day, God would bless you with it, I pray. So Numbers chapter 6, it says this. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So I pray, God, that our hearts will receive that. We'll hear it. We believe it. We receive that. May it be implanted. Take up residence in our heart this day. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, my friends. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So I pray that truth, Father, will settle deep into our souls, be implanted in our hearts, take up residence. It gives us hope in all things. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. Thank you for your word that never changes. And we look to you now, Father. We look to you. We listen. May we hear you speak. And may we follow, God, in all things. Whatever you call us to do, may we follow. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, friends, maybe you're one that you've heard the gospel, but you've never surrendered your life to Christ. You've never prayed and repented of your sin and received Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you've never made that decision, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, I'll be here at the front. There are other staff and elders. We welcome you to come. We would love to pray for you and to lead you in that prayer of salvation. If you've never made that decision, let me encourage you, don't wait another day, my friend. Don't wait another moment. Today is the day of salvation. God's drawing you to him. We invite you to come. There may be others that are, you're walking through other things and you want us to pray with you over something. We welcome that. Or you want to come to the altar and just pray, or just where you're standing. Maybe that's, you're responding by praying right where you are as God just continues to speak to you. But whatever it is, however he leads you, let's just continue to set our hearts again on God and know that it's all about him. That we decrease, he increases. Let's continue to worship.